Hello, Alex Zane here. Thank you for choosing to listen to Just the Facts. And while you can still enjoy these episodes forever, you might want to check out our brand new show, A Trip to the Movies, where each week a different famous film fan curates their perfect night out at the cinema, picking what snacks they'd eat, where they'd sit, who they'd go with, and of course, what movies they'd screen. If you love cinema as much as we do, search A Trip to the Movies with Alex Zane or head to our socials at Trip to Movies Pod. That's at Trip to Movies Pod to find out more.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Just the Facts with me, Alex Zane, the podcast that takes a journey through the cinematic CV of a different guest every week to uncover some ferociously fantabulous facts about their career. Congratulations to the JTFers who correctly worked out this week's guest from the clues on our Twitter and Instagram where we are at JTFpod. Well done, Lise Nielsen, Cinemaric, who both guessed correctly on Instagram, while over on Twitter, Frank B., DMC, and unsurprisingly, Rebecca Ferguson Webb, the Rebecca Ferguson Twitter fan page, who all worked out from the clues that it is indeed the brilliant Rebecca Ferguson, who is my guest on this week's show, and she will be along in just a moment. For all the latest news and updates about our upcoming guests, do follow us on Twitter and Instagram at JTFpod, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you can watch our interviews in full the Friday after the pod is released. One other thing very quickly, if you do enjoy this week's episode or indeed any of our previous episodes, please do take the time to leave us a little rating and a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, as it is hugely useful to us and would be greatly appreciated. Right then, my guest this week, an amazing actress who has, in the last 5 years, become an integral part of the Mission Impossible franchise as Ilsa Faust, starred in the word-of-mouth phenomenon that was The Greatest Showman, and later this year is set to play the iconic Lady Jessica in Denis Villeneuve's epic-looking adaptation of Frank Herbert's Dune. Before then, however, she reunites with her Greatest Showman co-star Hugh Jackman for the hugely original sci-fi reminiscence written and directed by Westworld's Lisa Joy and out in cinemas this very week. We talk about all of that and a lot more. It was fantastic to have her on the show, so please welcome to Just the Facts, the wonderful Rebecca Ferguson.
That's fine. That's fine. I'll keep it casual, you know. I'm drinking a coffee. You've got a straw.
I've got a straw. Paper.
Hey.
Am I too dark or is it good?
No, it's very dramatic. It looks good. Are you happy?
I don't care. Sure.
Yeah?
Yeah. Have you met me? I don't really know. I don't know. Yeah, it's great. Whatevs.
Oh, right. Hey, so 2021. busy year for you. At least that's what it looks like on paper. Reminiscence, June. I think you've just finished shooting Mission Impossible 7 like a few days ago. Has it been as busy as it sounds for you? Do you feel busy?
Right now, I feel so busy that I sometimes just cradle myself in a corner and ask for everyone else to just solve everything for me. I'm not joking. We took a week off and we went surfing in Devon because I knew what was coming. But it's also a gradual stage of mission would have a wrap date. So that's just a, like, it's an actual date. Reminiscence has a premiere. That's a date. So everything has a natural flow to it. I'm just waiting to prep the next job.
I mean, I have to say, from the outside looking in, it does feel like you are going to continue to be busy because, I mean, the roles that you're taking and the movies that you're making, like, they seem to be getting bigger and bigger. Is that something that you feel aware of that is happening, like the scale of the films and the scale of the parts you're taking has increased?
I feel... You know what? I feel like Mission was such a huge role, and that's 7 years ago. I feel like I was somehow thrown into it in the deep end. So I guess there's... No, I don't agree with you. I disagree. Because I kind of feel like I did, you know, one of the earlier films I did was with Hugh Grant and Meryl Streep. Mm-hmm. And for me, that was ginormous. And yet today, if I had a script with them, it would be equally as big as, you know, I guess the answer is Dune as a film per se is so huge. Yeah. But, you know, Reminiscence is not as huge, but it has an incredible story and great. You know, so I kind of feel like I've been thrown into this in the deep end from the beginning, which is quite lovely. I don't have to be aware of an escalation of, is it success? I don't know. Of recognition? I don't know.
Mm. I mean, like you mentioned Reminiscence, which obviously it's the first movie that we should talk about because it's coming out. When this goes out, it'll be this week. Reminiscence is coming out this week. So what do you look at when you decide on taking a role in a film? Is it a question of the filmmakers who are involved? Is it a question of the script? Is it a question of how different or challenging the role is compared to something that you've done before?
It's a mixed mash, all of that. I think now, in like you said, you asked if I recognize sort of the grandiosity of films I'm in. I think what I feel is I'm getting more and more aware of wanting to challenge myself. And not, I've sometimes said I get bored if I stick to one kind of characteristic type, but I also feel like I want to offer up something versus if this is what I'm going to do. If this is actually my job, I still sometimes go, do you know, I still wait for the day, but you're laughing, but I sometimes think, is this it? Like, I've done so much. I've worked in clothes shops and restaurants and cleaning hotels and daycares and nursery. I've done so much. And yet I'm an actress. That's my job, but I'm sometimes waiting for that moment where someone goes, thank you for the time. But so I always grab a role that will throw something new and dynamic and complex and challenging to open another door in a direction that maybe my career can take me somewhere else or
As long as you get time off to go surfing in Devon every so often. That kind of
five
stuff.
5 days a year. Mm. I'm happy.
Did you actually surf?
Yeah.
Wow. I can't. If
surfing is lying on a paddleboard and then actually getting up and standing and riding that thing just straight, then hell yeah, I surfed.
Yeah, I'm too scared of sharks to ever get on a surfboard.
They are known. Actually, I think, didn't they see like a great white or something?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's your answer. That's why you'll never find me on a surfboard in Devon. So, I mean, of all the stunts you've done in Mission Impossible, to me, this is the bravest thing you've ever done.
Yeah. You know something? I was in LA with husband and son, and I was doing a photo shoot for Vanity Fair. It's a picture of me in an old, beautiful silver car. God, I can't even remember what it was. Stunning car. Anyway, and then we were going to have supper. But I call my husband, he's not answering. And I think, come on, why are you late? You have one job, be in the car, take care of my son and all that. But he's not there. And I get home and he's on the stairs waiting for me at this hotel. And he goes, right, I just need you to start off by saying, Isaac's okay, but he nearly got eaten by a shark today, but he's all right.
What? What happened?
So much more, a better storyteller. I believe they've been somewhere on a beach in where we were in Los Angeles, not to mention places, because, you know, they'll be annoyed. And I think they were swimming, and then all of a sudden, I think he must have seen the shadow of a shark in the wave behind my son, and realized that this was a grab and run situation, which he did very fast, yelling to everyone to get out of the beach or get off.
Oh my God. I mean, literally just hearing that story, I've got goosebumps. I have a shark tattoo on my wrist to remind me to never go in the sea.
You're scared of them.
Yeah, that story. It's just right here. Yeah.
Oh, that's a really nice one.
Thanks very much. Yeah, so that's it. That's a terrifying story, but I'm pleased. Rory got to look like a hero. That's amazing.
He did look like a hero. I gave that to him for 20 minutes.
So let's talk a bit more about Reminiscence, because, I mean, it's, for me, as a massive sci-fi fan, it is so exciting to see an original idea get given a sizable budget and be allowed to explore this vision of the future. And obviously anyone who's seen Westworld knows that Lisa Joy as a filmmaker knows how to develop a complex idea. What was your first reaction when you read this script?
That I loved this woman's vision for this complex story. I read the script and I remember thinking, I don't really get it. This is difficult. I'm loving the fact that I'm not getting it. Number that drew me in. And then gradually her explaining this, the philosophy, number one, of characteristic traits, how we see ourselves, how other people perceive us, and you know, just that is interesting enough for me to be interested in the project. And then she talked about this machine going back and forth or back in history. But we attacked it in a more addictive way, which I found very interesting. When is enough enough? When do we stop seeking the past?
And I think that's it. That's because, I mean, that theme of becoming obsessed with the past, I think, like, is a very relatable theme. I don't know where you sit on that scale, because I sometimes find myself like it stops being nostalgia and it becomes like analysis of the past and trying to use the past to explain where you are now. Do you look back, or are you much more forward looking?
I believe I analyze far too much. And I think that definitely goes into shattering history and what people have done, what I have done. But it's a balance, isn't it? I mean, I think what's so interesting is with this character, she's trying to portray something that she is not, right? And I relate to that sometimes, thinking in our world, we do that quite a lot. I speak for myself. You know, who is Rebecca behind the closed doors? Who is Rebecca in a media environment, when I'm safe, when I don't feel safe? And I think I often go back in my history to see where I feel like I did wrong, you know, that kind of bashing on yourself.
Yeah.
Thinking, I don't want to redo that. How can I get better this time? Ooh, a new production. I'm going to be cooler this time. And then 5 minutes in, you fucked it up already, you know?
Surely not.
Yeah, I dip in and out. I think you need to be very careful, because life goes so fast. Mm. It goes so fast. I think the moment I'm happy is when I turn the phone off, when something happens in this moment and these waves of joy happen. Those are the memories I go back to, you know?
Mm. I think I agree. I think there's a thing where I think analysis and self-analysis is useful, but I think it's where you start to look back and regret decisions you made, and everything becomes, I wish I'd done this, the path not taken.
Yeah, absolutely. What could I have done? What could I have done differently? And would the outcome have been different? I have that. I have a couple of road,
forks in the road.
Yeah, is that what you call it? Is it a fork in the road? I don't know. I think I had a T-junction. But where, for various reasons, I've chosen one path. And sometimes I've thought, I wonder what would have happened. But it's not a negative. It's not a positive. It's just a state of mind of of questioning what would have happened had I not. Things I've done that have had enormous negative repercussions and consequences, would I have not wanted them to happen? In many ways, yes. And then I'm also extremely grateful that they did, to bring me to a state of mind that I am today.
Well, I mean, these are some of the amazing themes that are explored, I think, in Reminiscence. Yeah. And it's exciting. It's exciting because Hugh Jackman, I mean, I think I've said to you before, I'm a big Hugh Jackman fan. And to see,
do you think anyone watches a movie and goes, can't stand him? What an idiot.
How was
my skin, you know? With that smug smile and those tight jeans.
Yeah, it's like, it's not fair that he's nice and so beautiful. Yeah. How was it working with him? Again, obviously a very different kind of movie from The Greatest Showman.
After The Greatest Showman, we had created such a lovely relationship that we carried on. I mean, not sort of an everyday relationship, but definitely checking in on each other a couple of times a month. And when this came up and Lisa said that she'd written it for Hugh, I believe she said, I knew that in relation to how she had described this character, the complexity of it and where I wanted to take it, obviously more dark, more drugs, more despair. You know, I was like, how far can we go? Can I throw up whilst on the loo? Or is that too much in a scene? You know.
Wow. Yeah, that's
obviously we want to go everywhere, don't we? And then I thought, there is no one who I would feel as safe to explore all of these, you know, characteristic traits than with him. He would embrace it. He wouldn't judge. He would throw a curveball. We'd laugh. You know, one of the most uncomfortable moments can be a sex scene. We have quite explicit, intense sex scenes that Lisa Joy explains she wants it from a female orgasm point of view, because many films nowadays and are sold in a way that, you know, the idea of how a woman enjoys sex, and as many women know, that is not the end for us sometimes, you know, it's mostly to please the male gender. So she said, I'm done with that. We're going to have a female orgasm. And we talked about the positioning, etc. And because Hugh and I are so down to earth with each other, there's nothing we can't try or laugh with, you know, put husband and wives in the room. It's like a family. But Lisa Joy is so uncomfortable and shy. She could barely direct her own written sex scene. I was like, so what if I do this? What if this angle? And she's going, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Do I have to look at it? Can you just do it? And my point is, that's how we would work. There is nothing that is not safe.
It's amazing because you put a still up on your Instagram from the film of you and Hugh, and it's crazy how many people underneath talk about the reunion of Jenny Lind and Barnum in this movie.
Oh, yeah. People love us together, but you know what? I love us together. I'm going to speak for Hugh. Hugh loves us together, and I think. But I'm serious in a very modest way, that when you're that comfortable the chemistry, you know, people say off chemistry, on chemistry, etc. When you're that safe with someone and when they have such a part in your life, how could audiences not like it? You know, it's real. It's there.
And you went on a huge journey together with that movie. I remember following the whole story of The Greatest Showman, the little movie that was written off that then went on to become this huge hit. I mean, you know, word of mouth is really a thing with films still.
It was a snowball effect, wasn't it? The rolling snowball into...
Incredible stuff. Incredible. And so when you, I mean... You know, it feels like the perfect time with Reminiscence coming out to talk about Looking Back. And we touched on this, but, you know, you said earlier you were in at the deep end with Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation. Was there a film or a TV program that you think was a real turning point? Because obviously Mission Impossible, by all accounts, came off the back of the BBC series, The White Queen.
Yeah, I think... It's funny, isn't it, Alex? It's like a domino effect. How far back do you go of gratitude of your career? You know, then there must be that stone of the push, you know? So I think for me, it would always be a film I did in Sweden called A One Way to Antibes. Now, it means maybe not as much as The White Queen because it's Swedish. But Richard Hobert, who is sort of a well-known Swedish director, took a chance and gave me the female lead in his film. And that repelled an interest overseas and by one of the biggest agents in Scandinavia, Lara Munstiel, who I've really wanted to be with. But, you know, I just wasn't cool enough. I was a soap opera star. All of a sudden, I was in a meeting with her. You know, that for me, the moment I sat in that meeting was... Not that my career was made, but I was in another world. And she said, you know what, you're English. We should get you over to England, introduce you to an agent there. And I think that's where I see you heading. So I bought my own ticket. I went over and I met up with Charles Collier and then Harrod Wood from what is now my agency, Tavistock Wood. The first casting they sent me to that day or the day after was The White Queen.
Wow.
It was a very intense platform of just explosion. I mean, it took 3 months of casting. It was the most tormented, horrendous journey of excitement. But it wouldn't have come had it not been the Swedish film. So it's those two, isn't it?
And how did you first hear about in terms of sort of casting, like when you first knew that there was an interest in you joining the Mission Impossible series as Ilsa Faust? Was it a phone call? Did you have a meeting?
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at Burrow.com/ACAST. That's Burrow.com/ACAST. Burrow.com/ACAST.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Do you know, this is so funny. I usually remember everything when it comes to big moments. I know I did a tape. I did a self-tape because that's what they'd seen. I cannot remember where I did it. I know it's a car scene. The car scene when he's taking all of my gadgets off me and I'm in a yellow dress.
Yep.
I have no idea when I did it, where I did it. And I remember being on the camel in the desert shooting the red. Oh my God. The red tent.
The red tent, yeah.
And so I'd done a tape. My agents must have told me, you know, you're going to do a casting for Mission Impossible. You know, let's just throw in as many tapes as we can in every direction and see where it grabs. And I was just happy to do any tape, any meeting. And yeah, rest is history, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, it kind of is. That's the first time we met at for the very first time at the premiere of Rogue Nation.
Oh.
Yeah, it's the same venue I'm going to be seeing you tonight for reminiscence.
I know.
Full circle.
Isn't it fun?
Yeah, it is fun. Did you imagine, though, that, you know, when you were doing Rogue Nation, that you'd be here, you know, 5 years later doing a third Mission, having just wrapped a third Mission Impossible movie?
I mean, I don't know. I feel like the answer should be no.
Humility and all that. Yeah. Yeah.
But between us, I feel between us and all the people listening out there. No, let's have an honest conversation.
Right? Yeah.
You sign a 3-picture deal.
Mm.
That's what you do, or 5 or 7. I didn't know that Ilsa was going to reprise at all. I had no idea. We had fun. It went really well. I know I really enjoyed it. I know the feedback was great. I never assumed that I was going to come back. But I think for me, my reality was, why wouldn't I? I was enjoying it so much. I see no reason why this wouldn't continue. So when it happened, I think I was like, yeah, great. When do we start? And I think later on comes the realization of, that didn't actually have to happen.
Mm.
They could just have said, thank you. You know, I was the first woman to continue into the next one. But I'm also very much a person who just, I go, I ride, I enjoy. And then I'm in the next job. And then I'm in the next job. I don't really stop and question too much. I move.
Yeah, it's fascinating you say that. I read that you said that because I think you were once asked about sort of the pressure that comes with the release of a movie, because obviously, you know, people become obsessed with it, how it's going to do, what the expectations are, the movie press are like, is it going to hit this target that it's expected to?
I just don't care.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Well, I think, no, it was, I found it really interesting because you said by that point, I'm on the next job. So that all happens after I've left the project. So I'm invested fully in something else.
Yeah, that is exactly how it is. What I do like is if it's a film you've enjoyed doing, like Reminiscence, and I haven't had many films that I haven't enjoyed promoting. There might have been a couple, you don't have to research. But a Mission film, for example, I will do my best. And with Mission comes so many butterfly experiences. It's pressure, it's excitement. It has so many emotional, like you call, you know, the reaction of body memory, right? So when I've shot a Mission film, they will edit the crap out of it. I will give them everything I have, but to be honest, the final product is out of my hands. And that is a huge compliment that I'm giving them because I compliment the film. I think it's brilliant. But I can't sit there hoping and wondering you know, my emotion and my soul and my body is into something else. But then I get to step back into it for an episodical moment and relive the memory. I have always written down notes when I film on every character, on every thought, so I can quickly go through my notes and throw myself back into where I was when I filmed to promote, to talk about it, to make it interesting for me.
Wow. Like a journal of your experiences.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, otherwise, I don't know how I would, you know, press junkets, sure, you know, publicists will send you a breakdown of your character description, what to say, what not to say. But, you know, I'm more interested in what I think of it, you know.
Because, I mean, you do spend, by all accounts, quite a lot of time. You enjoy the process of researching and building a character. That's yeah. You enjoy that as much as actually making the film.
If not more. Hmm. I mean, right now I'm prepping this new Apple show called Wall. And, you know, we're looking into scarification, tattoos, you know, chopping hair off, colouring it. Would they have colour in a silo, you know? All of this, it's the process of the creative minds going so far beyond any borders so we can start coming back to some form of, you know, streamline. And then we film it and then we move on.
I'm sure you get asked about it all the time, but I feel like I'm in a position where I can ask because, you know...
Because you're being a chef with Tom Cruise?
I mean, that's kind of it. Because like you and I grew up watching him. I mean, and obviously, you know, we have different experiences. You work with him, you make films with him. I interview him. But, you know, it's still a pinch yourself moment. I still do find myself going, I grew up with you as the biggest movie star on the planet. You're probably still the biggest movie star on the planet. Yeah. It's kind of amazing to have that relationship with him.
Yeah, it's... he's an odd one, Tom, isn't he? He's so never met anyone like him, and I don't think I will ever meet anyone like him. And I don't really know who I become with him. Sometimes I find myself using American expressions like awesome really intensely, and I knuckle fist, and it's all real because I guess we mirror each other. But Tom has such a magnetic presence because I feel the Tom I know cares and is interested, and he ignores the stuff he's not interested in. So there's no fakeness to it. It's just very much there at that moment. Mm. But I still, you know, I'll tell him, you know, there's an excitement that comes with him, you know, his walk, his stride, his voice, you know, he's created this character for himself.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I've never met anyone who is as fascinated and passionate about making films as him. That's the one thing. The first time I met him, I just didn't realize just how excited the process makes him.
It was an interesting process being in COVID with him. Mm. When he shared, you know, when you know the love that someone has for film, how much he puts into it, both him and McHugh is how I see them now together, obviously separate entities, but the way they work together, if film stopped, if cinemas stopped, you know, just, I sensed the, what would the word be? The kind of, it's not forceful strength or necessity. It's just, it's his life.
Yeah. Yeah. And in terms of mirroring, I spent enough time with him that I started saying, crushing it. Because
even go there. I texted it to someone the other day just to have fun. I texted the ADs on mission, just saying, yeah, guys, we miss you, me. You guys are crushing it. My God, I think a finger up or something.
Yeah. It's weird when you try it out yourself and you realize he pulls it off with panache and you sound like an idiot when you're going, hey, everyone, you're crushing it. Just doesn't come off in the same way.
You're crushing this interview. I'm really enjoying it. Awesome, man.
Exactly. Hey, so you have another little movie coming out later this year based on, I don't know, one of the most seminal works of science fiction writing in the history of literature. It's called Dune. Wow. So, I mean, have I seen it yet? No. No one's shown me anything. Why? Have you?
Twice, man.
See, I'm so giddy. I just reread it.
I asked them to set up another screening. And I thought, should I invite Alex? And then I thought, I'm not allowed to.
Oh, all right.
No, you belong to, you're the other, you know, you're the other side.
Come on, we're friends. You can do me a solid like that. I need to see this movie so badly. So Lady Jessica, rereading it. I mean, like, well, I read it with you in mind this time, obviously. And
you reread the book.
Yeah.
You read the book and then you thought, I'm just going to reread it.
Yeah. For the movie to, you know, just get from here to here in terms of excitement.
Oh my God. I read like 20 pages and I went, absolutely not. You must be joking. Miguel, it's hard, but you're a sci-fi, you're in that world, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I love
like
it. I love
crossword
stuff like that.
People.
Right.
You know? When it says middle of stone and I go, I don't know, something hard. You have a way of reading it and understanding it. It's quite complex.
Oh, yeah. Dense.
And I guess, not saying you have time and I haven't had time, I find it quite difficult. I found it difficult to throw myself into it. I started and then I went, right, Denny, just tell me. give me the story.
But that is interesting because he has, by all accounts, the role has metamorphosized slightly from what is in the book of Lady Jessica. It's been expanded, I guess, would be the word.
Just, you know, by now I have read most of the book. This is in the beginning of the post.
Okay.
Yes. And there are bits of it that I'm really upset is not there. And I asked if maybe there'd be a possibility of bringing it into the second one.
Mm-hmm. Right, I got you. Yeah.
But I do know of what I remember Denny saying to me was he tried to stay as loyal to the book as possible, but you also need to adapt it to a, you know, 2021 audience, especially with how women were perceived and how they were written in the 60s, etc. You know, she needs to be so much more relatable. And I don't know if that shift was hard for them to do. It felt very natural and easy reading the script and acting it. But I think they've done a very good job to recreate the book into a film. I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, I think it's...
You haven't seen the film, so you wouldn't know.
I haven't seen the film, but I think from what I have seen in terms of the... I mean, I've snaffled up everything, artwork, behind-the-scenes stuff, so it all looks exactly how I'd want Dune to look. And, you know, Denis Villeneuve's a freaking genius, like a visionary, so... You know, I feel we're in safe hands, but I do hope we get the sequel.
He's crushing it, man.
And Timothée Chalamet as Paul, he, for me, he's the perfect Paul. What was it like building that relationship, playing his mother?
I mean, I couldn't agree more. When I heard that he was playing Paul, number one, I think he is one of the most extraordinary, incredible actors there is out today. I am a little bit in awe of his work. His process is different, which I love. It's boring when things just roll too easy. And this is a mother-son relationship, you know? So we worked on that and finding the dynamic of connection and disconnection. You know, there are moments in this film / book where the teacher becomes the taught one, you know, the change and the shift of power. just being on the receiving end of someone that brilliant. But to be honest, yes, Timothy was brilliant. But this entire cast for me was one of the most exquisite casts I've ever been in.
It's unbelievable, this cast for this movie. It's probably one of the most star-studded casts in history.
I think Wes Anderson takes those.
Oh, yeah. All right, good call.
But
good
other call. Than that, other than that.
Yeah, that's interesting. So when you say his process was a little different, was that's fascinating that you have a certain way of doing things and someone has a different way of doing things. And I guess you like a challenge.
Yeah, but always. I mean, how dull if you work with people who do exactly the same thing. I mean, we need to be in situations where we have to respect boundaries or feel energies, provoke, just creatively try different things and just respecting each other's process, you know. With that said, it was a brilliant, incredible journey and ride. He's glorious.
I can't wait to see it. If you have any more tickets, you know, that just happen to come up, you know, I promise I'll come as a friend and not a journalist.
Are you going to Venice? No.
No. No. Do you want to point out other things that I'm not doing?
Did you come to that? I don't know how this works on your end.
I know. I appreciate you extending the olive branch only to snatch it away. That was a brief...
wafting the flies.
No, I am really excited to see June, obviously. You do seem to have a great eye for picking really interesting characters and creating those characters from what's on the page. I mean, like, you look at Ilsa, Rose the Hat from Dr. Sleep, Lady Jessica, May in Reminiscence. Do you think there has been a change in the kind of roles that are out there for female actors, or at least maybe a change in the quality of writing for female characters in film?
I think that there's an extremely heightened awareness for change to happen, need to happen. And I can sense that in writing. I can sense that in the receiving of notes from myself, for example. I think that it will take time to break a social comfortness. And I think... not just in roles for me, but to walk onto a set and see a female director, a female DOP, a female head of, you know, just normalizing the environment for race and gender and whatever, sexual, whatever is phenomenal. I mean, and it is gradually getting there. I wish it went fuckload quicker. Sorry, heapload quicker. Embrace it. And yeah, I can sense it. I don't choose roles based on trying to influence. I don't do that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's a good or bad thing. I go with character. I go with the necessity that the character has to serve a purpose. And I don't care if it's big or small. If you take her out of a story, there needs to be a hole in the story. Otherwise, you know, why write it for any role? The milkman knocking, delivering something. Does he need to be there for the story? No, then get it out. I believe in streamlining things and making everyone important.
Sounds like you should maybe go into writing at some point as well. It sounds like you really understand story. Have you got any plans to pen a script to yourself?
No, I'm not. I don't think I'm a good writer. I'm executive producing the wall thing for Apple.
Oh, really? Yeah. Hey, congrats.
Thanks.
When's that out?
We haven't even started shooting yet. We had our first table read yesterday.
Okay.
I got to see all the people who have just signed up, and it's an amazing cast.
Cool. I know nothing about this. So
no, you wouldn't.
Okay.
Because it's all new. It's Apple, Morten Tudlum, who did many, many things, but Imitation Game, he directed Defending Jacob, I think is the last show he did.
That was great.
And the showrunner, Graham Yost, did The Americans, Sticky Pete.
Well, that sounds exciting. Hey, it's been, do you know, it's been absolutely lovely speaking to you, Rebecca. I'll see you tonight, yeah?
Yeah, see you tonight. Let's smash it.
Yeah, crush it. We're crushing it.
Let's crush it.
We can't even remember.
I know.
Only he can do
it. I went far too English. Let's smash it, darling.
It's the funniest thing. I think it was the premiere for Rogue Nation, when I introduced Tom on stage, and no one else has ever done this, no actor, when you introduce the cast on stage, you go, here are the cast, ladies and gentlemen, and Tom thanked his entire cast, and no one's ever done this. He goes, and also I want to say a big thank you to Alex Zay for being here. He is crushing it right now. And I was like, wow.
I remember. That's also the time when I swore. Do you remember?
Yeah. What did you say again?
I said, my mom. And then she went, fucking hell. Something.
That cue.
And,
right.
And that's Rebecca Ferguson for you.
All right, brilliant. I will let you get on with your day. Thank you for your time,
though,
Rebecca.
Thank you, honey, and I'll see you in a couple of hours.
All right, you take care.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, Alex Zane here. Thank you for choosing to listen to Just the Facts. And while you can still enjoy these episodes forever, you might want to check out our brand new show, A Trip to the Movies, where each week a different famous film fan curates their perfect night out at the cinema, picking what snacks they'd eat, where they'd sit, who they'd go with, and of course, what movies they'd screen. If you love cinema as much as we do, search A Trip to the Movies with Alex Zane or head to our socials at Trip to Movies Pod. That's at Trip to Movies Pod to find out more.